Welcome to the Taking the Land podcast. This is your home for daily audio sermons from Christian Fellowship Ministries. God has gifted our fellowship with some of the finest preachers in the world, and we want to share.
Are you in need of a passport in a hurry? Look no further. Global Passport Express is here to help. With our efficient and reliable services, we can process your passport in as quick as 7 days. That's right, just 7 days. And that's not all. We specialize in visas for many countries, including popular destinations like China, India, and so much more. Whether you're planning a family vacation, a business trip, or your next mission trip, Global Passport Express is your one-stop solution for all your passport and visa needs. So why wait? Reach out to us today at 210-375-7525 to speak with one of our friendly and knowledgeable representatives. They will guide you through the process and answer any questions you may have. You can also visit our website at www.globalpassportexpress.com for more information and to start your application online. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Mention this ad and receive 10% off any of our services. Don't let time constraints hold you back from your travel dreams. Trust Global Passport Express to deliver your passport fast, hassle-free, and with a smile. Global Passport Express, your passport and visa experts. Get ready to explore the world.
Platform workers do appreciate your ministry. I also want to extend my welcome if you're joining us for the first time. It is a blessing to have you. Want to make you feel welcome tonight. Proverbs chapter 22, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me or click there or ask Siri to turn there for you, however you do it. When asking children what their parents did for a living, these were some of the responses. One girl said, "My mommy moves papers around and talks on the phone. Her mom is a judge." Another said, "My mom sells drugs. Not with a gun, but she emails people asking if they want drugs. And his mom is a pharmaceutical rep." One boy said, "My dad makes boxes for Happy Meals, but his dad is actually a lawyer." Another boy said, "My dad kills people for a living, when in actual fact, his dad just paints houses." You know, parenting can be the hardest and equally most rewarding thing in all of life. And Scripture tells us to train up our children. And tonight, I want to give hope to parents that are currently raising children and also encouragement to parents who have children that are not living for God tonight. And if you think you're safe tonight, for all of us, we have backslidden loved ones in our lives that we care about deeply, that we want to see come to salvation. And God is able to reach down and draw them back. And so I want to preach a sermon tonight entitled Training Ground out of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, just one verse. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and then And when he is old, he will not depart from it." Training ground. Let's look firstly tonight at the need for training. We live in a world today that is constantly trying to influence the next generation, trying to influence and have power over our children. The first influence has to do with moral absolutes. What is right and what is wrong? What is taught now is that truth is relative. Whatever is true for you is true for you, and whatever's true for me is true for me. Amos 5:10, "They hate the one who rebukes in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks uprightly." This comes over the internet and social media. The idea that truth is subjective, in other words, truth comes from within. It's whatever I feel in the moment, that's what is true. and the belief that truth that comes from the Word of God is antiquated or out of fashion or irrelevant. The first influence is the influence of moral absolutes. The second is that the world in which we live today is based upon feelings. This idea that how you feel is the most important thing in all of the world. 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. You think about the pharmaceutical industry today. They have psych drugs for every feeling in whichever direction you want to go. If your child is happy or energetic, your child has ADHD. If your child is feeling sad, they have depression. If your child likes to organize their crayons, they have OCD. If they're being bad, they have oppositional defiant disorder or ODD or conduct disorder or CD. Or you know what you could call that is they're a child. That might make a little bit more sense. But the point is, society today bases all of life on how it makes you feel. Never mind what's right and wrong. Never mind what does God say, but how does that make you feel? The third influence revolves around an anti-God, anti-Christ spirit. We live in a spiritual climate that seeks to destroy anything good that comes from God. Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. It's not just politics. It's not just entertainment. It's not just the current culture, but there is a spirit at work because we live in the last days, my friend. The truth is there is a climate that seeks to destroy anything good that comes from God. Think about the children of Israel entering into the promised land. God gives very specific direction to parents. In Joshua 4:21, he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. The point of the stones for these children was that God did not want them to forget the mighty hand of his power that brought deliverance to their parents and to them. And so then with the influence of this world on our children, for parents, we can feel at a loss. We can feel overwhelmed. How do I navigate through the current climate and culture? How do I raise my children effectively in a world like this? In a church I used to pastor, we had a man come up and say, Pastor, I've got this great idea. Okay, what's your idea? Pastor, what I think we need to do is we need to go out into the desert and we need to start a commune where any Christian can be invited to the commune. We could live in a big complex. We'd all share the same kitchen. And I said, stop right there. You had me at kitchen. Imagine a bunch of different families using the same kitchen at the same time. That is just one of the problems with the idea that let's isolate ourselves from the big bad world and attempt to just survive. There's some days where you feel like, wow, you know, if I could just disconnect from everything and everyone, then I'll just be okay with my freeze-dried foods and everything will be fine. But you know, parents can oftentimes feel guilty because for the most part, we're simply trying to survive adulting. We're learning how to be a good spouse, how to be a good parent, how to stay saved, how to serve in ministry, how to manage finances, how to relearn long division. Maybe that's just me. But you know, for a lot of parents, this is what it is. It's survival. I'm juggling chainsaws, trying to keep my sanity and keep my kids alive. We can think that being a good parent is not something that comes automatically, and it's true. For you to raise up your child in the way that they should go, this doesn't just magically happen. You ever see this? You're at the store or you're at a restaurant, and there's that family there, and they just have it together. The kids' clothing are clean. Mom and dad are having an easy conversation. The child raises his hand when he wants to speak. It's like, wow, that you know, for most of the time when I'll just be honest, when I'm taking my kids out, we're out to dinner, we're just trying to keep most of the food on the table and not on the floor. But you see this, it's like, man, it's so easy for some people. They're just so much more put together than I am. But the danger is that our parenting becomes all about survival. If I can just make it through the next 18 years, keep my child alive, keep myself alive, then that's a win. Then I'm a good parent. Finally, what can happen is that this world determines how your children should be raised. What is communicated to parents today is that mom and dad are not enough. You are unable to raise your children correctly. And think about this. You're following the news. Parents are upset that there's certain school districts in certain states that are trying to teach critical race theory, being taught in schools. And what I thought was interesting about this is the overarching consensus for school districts trying to teach this psychotic babble is parents should not have the right to determine what a school teaches their children. But this is society today. Hillary Clinton famously said it takes a village to raise a child, literally saying that the family is not enough. Mom and dad, you're not enough. You as a father, as a mother, you are incapable of doing a good enough job to raise your children or take care of your family. So then let's see then the results of survival parenting. Number one, we become reactionary parents. Behavioral correction for a child only comes after they have done something extreme. Junior or little miss lit the cat on fire, burnt a hole in the carpet, pushed over a bookshelf. This was all on Sunday morning before church. And then there's behaviors that are acted out in public places. And when correction comes, it's only when there's embarrassment or the ultimate extreme behavior. We become reactionary, and our embarrassment determines correction. Secondly, children have no real direction in life. Think about our text gives us the word train. This has a few meanings for us. It means, first of all, to initiate early instruction. A child, when they are born, they do not have a fully formed brain. That's just reality. Maybe yours is a little bit more fully formed, but for most kids, this is good news for us. If a child's brain is not fully developed, that means it's moldable, it's pliable, it's trainable. So the first idea of the word train is to initiate early instruction. The second idea is to dedicate, means to give something or someone that is set apart for a special purpose. Think about Samson. He was dedicated to the Lord. There were certain things his parents committed him to do and to not do. Samuel, he was dedicated to serve in the temple. And this is very practical. In order for our children to have direction in life, parents must know where they're going and be willing to dedicate their children to God. But oftentimes, this is what happens. Parents feel like failures because of a lack of understanding or direction, and parents must know where they're going. See, what can happen when parents feel like failures is a husband and wife, they can be at odds in how they should be raising their children.
Is your church in need of a brand new flyer design? You're in the right place. We're here to help. My name is Eric Pizarro with Advanced Creative Design. We are offering all listeners of this podcast a 10% discount off their very first order. Feel free to send us an email at advancedcreativedesign23@gmail.com. Also, make sure you mention in that email that you heard us here on this podcast. Our website will be up soon, but in the meantime, we will be glad to help. God bless you all. We look forward to working with you. Make it a great day.
Seen this through the years, correction or discipline is about to happen, and then one or the other steps in and says, no, don't do that. Then parents begin to fight or scream or throw things, and the connection is made to the child. That's how I deal with life. That's what happens when we're survival parents. Let's look secondly then at the reality for every parent. You see, if all of these things are true, the world, the way we parent, you feel overwhelmed. If all of these things are true, then what is needed is a miracle. First of all, we need to understand that children are God's idea and they are a blessing from God. Psalms 139:13, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb." Sometimes we can view kids like this in moments of frustration. Maybe you don't vocalize it, but you feel like it. Like children, they're a hindrance or they're a burden. Feels impossible to do anything right as far as raising them. Psalms 127, verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." You see, if it was impossible for parents to effectively lead their children and make a foundation for which they can build on, then God would not have given us children. God would not have commanded us to train them up. If raising kids correctly was impossible, God wouldn't have told us to do it. Luke 18:16, "But Jesus called them to him and said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God.'" That's the good news. Children are a blessing from God. Secondly, all children are born delinquents. Mine included. They have an inherited sin nature working inside of them. Again, the world tells us, you know, everybody is basically good, and it's just their environment that makes them bad. If we can just build up a child's self-esteem when they're using a Sharpie on their baby sister's face, we need to encourage their artistic ability. That's good news. But you see, the Bible says something very different. We are all born inherently evil. The good news about a baby is they cannot act out every evil thought that they have. Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Proverbs 22:15, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from them." Third understanding is that God has equipped us through his word to be effective parents. You see, God will not command us to do something without equipping us for the task. In other words, if raising children correctly was impossible, again, God would not have commanded us to do it. So let's look at training ground, practical parenting. The process, and I understand this is a condensed Cliff Notes version, the process of giving our children the tools they need to make right decision is the first idea is that training involves direction. If you think of training a child, think of you are creating a path for which they can follow. I can remember walking through the woods with my dad back in the day when we had to chop firewood in order to keep the house warm. It wasn't Little House on the Prairie, that was just life. But I can remember walking on trails and paths trying to get to certain places, and my dad would hold branches back and keep them from slapping us in the face. He would say, "Don't go that way, you'll fall off a cliff." He would direct and guide, "This is the way you should go." You see, raising children is intentional. It's not just something that sort of happens. Training is not something that just happens. Think about Olympic athletes. When a professional trainer begins the process of training them for that sport, it doesn't happen when their plane arrives at the Olympics. You're a professional boxer. I guess we should start training you on how to box. It happens long before. Think about this. They will implement a number of things. There's a schedule in training. There are disciplines. You can't eat 5 tubs of ice cream and expect to be a world-class whatever. Maybe a sumo wrestler, you could be pretty good at that. There's disciplines, there's exercise, there are short-term and long-term goals in raising children. It is directional. I want my child to end up somewhere, so I'm going to direct them on that path. James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So for a parent to know how to direct their child, this requires wisdom from God. Ephesians 6:1-4, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And your fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about before your child goes to bed at night, you need to explain to them the Trinity. That's not going to be very effective. What does the Word of God say about loving one another? How about forgiveness? What does God tell us about anger, about giving? See, raising children, it takes work and consistency. It's something you have to work at. It involves discipline and boundaries, what is and is not acceptable behavior. For some parents, it's asking the question, are there influences that I have allowed into my life and have allowed into my child's life that will either help or hinder them down the road? You see, it matters what you allow your child to take in, what you give them access to. I remember Pastor Heimberg, he made this statement. We were having dinner one night. We're just talking about raising children, and Pastor Heimberg and Rachel, they're very inspiring to me, that they, the way they've raised their kids, very encouraging to me. But he made this statement. He said that when you're talking about kids imbibing entertainment, he said it's less important the content, and what's more important is the appetite. Meaning that you can sit your child in front of VeggieTales for 8 hours a day. They're talking about Bible stuff. That's great. He said, the problem is you are creating an appetite in your child to where that's all they want to do. All they want is something in their face. All they want is a screen. And I thought that was very profound. If you're talking about directing a child, you have to be aware, what kind of appetites am I opening my child up to? The second idea of training is building a framework. Training up a child in the way that they should go. What are you doing, or what you're doing rather, is building a framework that a child can build their lives on. For a right foundation to be built for our children, parents must have the right foundation built underneath their lives as well. Parents need to have a daily relationship with God's Word. They need to have a daily prayer life. Do your children hear you pray? Now, if you're saying, so help me God, I'm going to rip your arms off and beat you to death with them, that's a different prayer. Do your children hear you praying? Do they hear you lifting up the needs of other people? We also need to give children room to learn from their
pastors, disciples, ministry leaders. How many visitors have you lost track of in the last year? Don't you wish there was a better way to stay in contact with people who have visited your church? Like it or not, text messages are the way people communicate today. Some stats to consider: 90% of people prefer text messages over calls. 90% of texts are read within 3 minutes. 45% of text messages get a response. We want to share a solution that our church has started using with great success. It's called Text in Church. Born out of a church plant, the Text in Church creators know what it's like to struggle to get the word out and make meaningful connections with members and guests. More than 35,000 church leaders use this platform weekly to boost attendance and deepen relationships. This is a great solution to help people connect with their churches in a simple, meaningful way. When you use the link in the show notes to create an account, you'll get an instant $100 credit toward all future services. Why not give it a try? Start a free trial using our exclusive referral link below. Text in Church is the number one texting software for churches to make your community feel known, noticed, and loved.
Failures and work out difficult situations on their own. And thirdly, training means that you are an example. You see, you are a child's first authority figure in their life. It's not the police, it's not the principal, it's not the Sunday school teacher, it's you. Parents can approach their children like, I just want to be their friend. You're not. You're not just their friend. You're an authority figure. Your word is what goes. It involves what you say, what you speak about in church, what you say about people in church. See, children are very observant. I've learned this. And when you think they're not listening, I tell you, they are listening to every word you say. They're they're even more talented than the NSA. It involves what you value. Training up a child will mean you must show them through your actions that Jesus Christ is the most important thing in your life. This is one of the practical blessings and benefits of being involved in ministry in the church. This communicates to your children that the things of God have priority in your life. My wife and I, through the years, we've developed these non-negotiables. We're going to be at every service. That's a non-negotiable. Outreach and soul winning through evangelism, that's a non-negotiable. Prayer meetings, that's a non-negotiable. And you know what's interesting is my kids, they've never known anything different than that. And yet it's still a fight. Do we have to go to church? It's like, when have we not gone to church? Exodus 12:24 says, "You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he has passed over the house of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our house.' And the people bowed their heads and worshiped." You need to communicate what Jesus has done in your life to your children. They need to understand that you're saved, that you're right with God. So those are some practical parenting dimensions. But I want to look at the hardest part of our scripture. It says, "Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're older, they will not depart from it." This scripture gives us a gap in the timeline. It's between train up a child in the way that they should go and when they're older. What happens in that in-between time? You see, the reality of self-will and inherent sin, the Bible, or the world rather, says people are basically good. But the Bible says that that's not true. That's not what the Word of God says. It says we're all born sinners. You know, for part of a child's life, you are making all of the choices for them. Where they're going to go, what they're going to eat, when they go to bed, when they wake up. You're making those choices for them that are in their best interest, and that's good. I hope we as parents do that. There's a few different types of parenting. You have the helicopter parent. You have the Velcro parent. You have the snowplow parent. You're either hovering over your child or you're clearing away every obstacle or hindrance. I read a story a man tells of a helicopter parent. He said, "Years ago, I was managing a call center in Raleigh, North Carolina. We were interviewing candidates for an account manager position. The candidate in question made it through the screening interview but failed the interview with the sales managers. The next day, the candidate's mother showed up in our lobby demanding to know why we would not employ her son. Her son was 24 years old. Needless to say, he didn't get the job. But getting serious now, what happens when your child starts making their own choices that you as a parent sees as destructive? I'm talking about when they get older. For some, it's after they've moved out of the house. And they start going against. You've laid the foundation. You've trained them up. You've given them the path. You've given them the tools. You've built the framework for which they should base their lives on. But they grow up and they're off. They're doing their own thing. See, training, it also involves letting go. Setting a path, building a framework. It involves a level of trust and faith that God will lead them and help them back to the path when they stray from it. That's the reality of our text, is that middle ground where that timeline where they can make their own choices. Think about the story of the prodigal son. When the prodigal decided to go and live in sin, his father let him go. He didn't tell him, "No, son, you should live here with us. It's safer here. I don't want you to go out into that world. You know, you bring your friends over to the house. That's fine." In Dear Annie in the Courier, it started off like this. "I have a 47-year-old son who lives with me. He pays no rent and he does not help with the bills. Should I evict my son? 47 years old." The other idea in the prodigal story is that the father did not accommodate or make excuses for the son's behavior, and he didn't defend his son's actions. You know, some parents, they feel the decisions their children are making today are a direct reflection on them and the way they brought them up. If my child fails, if they walk into sin, that means I'm a failure. That means we are terrible parents. But this scripture tells us the reality is you can do absolutely everything right, and yet your child can still make bad decisions. That's the reality of the world in which we live. Our text tells us that when they are old, that's the difficulty of this scripture. Train them up, and when they're old, that's that time between the training and when they're old that we are not in control of. At some point down the road, if they get off track, at least you've given them the framework to be able to make decisions that will get them back on the path, because our scripture says they will not depart from it. You see, equipping our children today not only helps them today, but it helps them later on in life, later on down the road. I want to close quickly with the promised return.
Hi, I'm Mike Ashcraft, pastor currently in Van Nuys, California. I was a missionary in Guatemala for almost 16 years, and I thought that the only inheritance I'd leave my kids was the most important one, the spiritual legacy. When God brought me back to the United States, my family had only our clothes and computer. Since then, God has blessed me financially, and not through having a big church. Find out how you can steward your finances to prosperity and bless your children. Show them that serving God has blessings both here on earth and in the future in heaven. Call me today, 310-403-6471. That's 310-403-6471.
You see, the promise that our text gives us is when they're old, they will not depart from it. The path that you set for your children today will affect them long down the road. This has two parts. That means they know the right path, and they will return to the godly framework that you've built for them. You see, God cares about your children more than you do. For people with a backslider in your life, maybe backslidden children or even a husband or a wife, I want to give you hope tonight. In spite of how far gone you feel they are, the Holy Spirit is faithful to convict and draw them back. You see, backsliders know they're not saved. You know that? They know they're not right with God. And they know how to get back on track and step into blessing. Pastor Mitchell has said, you can leave the potter's house, but the potter's house will never leave you. So there's freedom for parents. Number one, God is not expecting perfection from you as a parent. Think about this story. A family went on vacation. After a few days into their vacation, after it ended, they loaded up the family, headed home, and they realized that they left one of their kids behind. Can you imagine the terror? And it took three more days before they found their missing child. Pretty rotten parents, right? How could you forget your child? And then it takes you 3 days to find. The child was 12 years old. If you're a Bible student, this is Mary and Joseph. You forgot the Messiah. The one who's going to save the entire world. You left him. Your minivan took off. And then you realized when you got home, like, one, two, uh-oh. That was the important one too. We really can't forget him. But it wasn't like call up your friend. It's like we got to travel back now, fighting with each other. I thought you had him. No, I thought you had him. You were supposed to take care of him. Parents of the year. But you know, the Bible's an honest book. The parents of the Messiah left him behind in Jerusalem for 3 days. As parents, you are not responsible for your child's salvation. I'm going to force them. You will repeat this after me. They may repeat it after you, but that doesn't mean they mean it. And listen, you're not a failure if your child is backslidden tonight. Scripture tells us that we all have the capacity to make our own choices, walk down our own paths. James 1:14, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. But our confidence comes from knowing who God is. Pastor Greg has said, I know my heavenly Father loves me. You know, you can have a confidence that God will do what he has promised. Verse 6, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You see, the hope for the backslider tonight is that it's not too late for parents tonight to begin to trust God with your children. But they're grown. They're long gone. Whenever I try and witness to them, they tell me what I can do with my church. It's not too late. You see, prayer is your most effective tool in drawing your child back to Jesus. For every parent, there must be a willingness to release and to let go. You see, children will grow up. They'll begin making their own choices. But the confidence that we as parents can have is that your child may not make the right choices, but God is faithful to bring them back. God is faithful to touch their hearts. Jeremiah 3:21, a voice was heard on the desolate heights, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Indeed, we do not come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Listen, the backsliders, the backslidden children in your life, they know the way home. The prodigal son knew exactly how to get back to dad's house. I'm not talking about GPS or physical location. Talking about spiritually. As you begin to lift up your children, you begin to pray for the backslidden loved ones in your life. They know the way back. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool. You see, the foundation you placed for your children was not a waste of time. And in whatever season, whatever circumstance you are faced with in life tonight, whatever pressures you may be facing, know that God is able to bring an answer. He is able to bring healing and deliverance, and He's able to bring hope. That is the truth of the training ground. I'd like every head bowed and every eye closed just for a few moments.